will be at the Bay Street Theater, Sag Harbor. Los Lobos will be at City Winery at 8. Modest Yahoo will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village. Carrie Carney will be at Mr. Beery's in Bethpage at 9. This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, December 22nd. The Cheryl Bailey Trio will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, 7 p.m. Royal Chaos will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, at 8. Chris Bode will be at the Blue Note, Manhattan, 2 shows, 8 and 10:30. Los Lobos will be at City Winery at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, December 23rd, the Bakersfield Breakers will be at Slake, Manhattan, 6 p.m. The Toby Tobias Ensemble will be at K.G. Farrell's in Belmore, 7:30. Alan Toussaint Trio will be at City Winery at 8. Kenny Rogers will be at the NYCB Theater in Westbury. Looking ahead to Wednesday, December 24th, Jeremy Pelt will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, at 10.
Check the online edition of the concert billboard at wusp.fm/CBB for the up-to-datest and the latest information.
And good evening, everyone. It is 6:05 p.m. at 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook, and that means only one thing. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I can't hear. Good evening, everyone.
I can hear. I can hear just fine.
It's over here where I can hear
myself. That's what I was telling you before. That switch, it sounds crappy, but you can hear.
Okay.
Whereas the other one sounds great, but you can't hear.
It would appear we're both in stereo, and as crumbly and staticky as this sounds...
Well, it sounds crumbly and staticky to us. To
we know.
To listeners, it doesn't.
Exactly. And that's what's important. Yeah. Well, here we are.
It's Off the Wall, Emmanuel here.
And Kyle with you on the board.
Welcome back.
I feel welcome. Thanks for welcoming me.
Do you feel back?
I feel mildly back, yeah.
Good.
And I really am impressed with how quickly I was able to figure out the new board.
It's not a new board at all. It may look like a new board, but it's actually the same old board.
Oh.
What's new is your outlook.
I think that's what it is. I think I just have a fresh take, and it looked new. It looked ready.
We spray painted it red for the holidays.
Oh, that's what all the flock... Okay.
Yeah, that's the smell, too.
Mm.
It's a bad idea overall, but you gotta do what you do.
Yeah, chestnut flavor. Got it.
Wow, so holiday plans. Anything anything we want to reveal, discuss, talk about?
Well, obviously the holiday is coming up.
It is coming up. Can't stop.
You know, I'm at a weird point. I don't know if I should express this, but I'll just say that for me, family... And the kind of old traditional holiday,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's transforming for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a kid anymore.
I had this whole talk last week in this time, so I'll
you
let
did.
You go ahead and...
Well, I'll confess, I actually am not caught up, but if you did, I'll just elaborate. Let me reiterate,
please.
I'm going through that too.
Mm-hmm.
Families going all over the place, siblings and new families starting, geographical change, all kinds of transition, transformation, and that's good. That's really good. I'm thrilled because, well, it's terrifying and it's also exciting at the same point. So for me, the holidays are going to be an interesting change, and you know, a little bit of the old, but a lot of new,
mm-hmm.
and redefining for me what family is and what my traditions will be going forward. And that's kind of where I'm at. So
making your own new traditions.
That's right. Yeah, and I don't want to. If I've ever sounded down about it, it's not that. It's just that what I grew up with is one thing, but what I'm facing now as an adult is completely different. So I am nostalgic. I have that memory and that joy and all those things. I think, but it's certainly not the way I'm practicing the holiday season now.
Well, you don't sound down. You might sound down in 2 weeks. But you don't sound down right now.
Yeah, I'm actually excited, and I love the weather. I'm like you. I love
mm-hmm.
the change in the scenery. I actually like all the lights people put up, and then, you know, when the storm hits, you have all these glowing white lights. It's really beautiful. There's so many little memories like that or imaginative things that really, really encapsulate what the holidays are about. For me, it's not about the... obligations to family to buy things or, you know, make up for the whole year you haven't been paying attention to anybody. It's really about the smells and the scene and the mood and the cheer.
You define it as you go along. When you're a kid, things are different. That's what I was talking about last week. You just have different sensations and different expectations. And, you know, you remember that when you get older, but you can't live by that or it just gets too depressing because it can never be the same. Anything cannot be the same as when you were a kid.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you need to make new boundaries and new adventures and new traditions and things like that. And I think, you know, that's what most of us wind up doing. But we should be positive about it as we do it, not think, you know, of all the things that are lost, because they're not lost, they're just different. They're things of the past that are now the present for other people, and your present has changed to something else.
Truly. And it is interesting that you realize, well, I do have a lot of kind of family, not in the biological sense, but there are a lot of people in my life I love and you care about and you reach out to, especially
mm-hmm.
during this time. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's still there. It's just different, like you said. So
yes.
That's kind of what goes through my mind as the holidays are coming by. And well, and I guess a new tradition is travel. You and I have been spending the holidays together in one way or another the last couple of years. And
mm-hmm.
We tend to try to get out and see the world a bit.
Yeah. Actually, the last couple of years we haven't
True.
At this time of year. But before that, we had been to the Chaos Communication Congress in Berlin. And this year, we're going to the Chaos Communication Congress in Hamburg because they moved.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us, but they moved, and we found them, and we're going anyway. But it's supposed to be really, really cool and massively big and all that. And we're looking forward to it. Having been through HopeX this year and done all kinds of crazy things, it'll be nice to see other people doing crazy things, and we can just sort of relax a little bit.
And be a spectator, observe the craziness, and really just connect with people and enjoy ourselves. I think that's what I'm...
I have yet to do that since Hope. Do you know that?
I believe it.
That was July, yeah. And I've been working ever since on all kinds of post-Hope projects, current 2600 projects, expansion and regression, all sorts of things.
Yes, yes.
And now maybe I can finally kick back a little bit, you know?
Drink some glue wine and visit a holiday market.
Well, you know, the Christmas markets, as they're called over there, because they don't have a war on Christmas. Like
oh, right. Here. Christmas market. Yeah.
People overseas, it's horrible. If you say the word Christmas, you spend the night in jail. Yeah, that's how it is. We should just spread all this stuff. We should just do conservative radio and spread all kinds of lies. It's so easy. It's so easy. Obama.
Isn't that what we do?
Obama the Arab, he is over here intimidating everybody and threatening us if we don't learn to speak Spanish. And I can do this.
Yeah. And the motion picture industry is it's being taken over by Dick Cheney.
Yeah. We should talk about him a little bit because it is that time of year.
It is. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? Who has a heart of cold?
Oh, man.
Cold,
yeah.
It's, green coal.
Hey, then the New York green coal. Yeah, that's Cheney, all right.
Yeah, kids are getting green coal. All the naughty kids get green coal for Christmas.
Wow. Okay, New York Times has called on the feds to investigate Dick Cheney for torture.
Finally.
But think about that. You know, the New York Times is actually saying, I can understand. I can understand why, if you're in politics, you can't go and call for somebody to be brought up on charges. You know, your previous president or vice president or whatever, you got to play the political game. Look at everything that Obama says, all right, and look at the strong reaction against it. He says the sky is blue. Fox News is going to interrupt all programming to, like, attack him for that.
Of course.
All right, so if he says something even remotely criticizing Bush, they're going to be all over him. And, of course, the people supposedly on the left will not support him and just kind of hang him out to dry. In this particular case, it's up to us. It's up to the people. When the people speak up, everyone is forced to react to that. We see that in the demonstrations that are going on about police brutality. We'll get to that in a little while, too. But as far as this, if we demand an investigation, if we demand prosecution, it'll happen. But we have to do that. And I don't know if we have enough people. I don't know if enough people will actually stand up for that. I'd like to think that people care enough to do that. But.
Well, also, I'm curious, and this is the first really I've heard of it. Has he had enough time to put in some safety nets for himself to mitigate any kind of backlash or anything that would come from the people? I think we've waited far too long, actually. But
well, this is what I'm seeing now, and this actually, I don't know why we got it this way. It's from the Washington Times reporting on the New York Times. We should have just gotten the editorial. But in a Monday editorial titled Prosecute Torturers and Their Bosses, the New York Times called on the U.S. Department of Justice to launch an investigation of former Vice President Dick Cheney and several other Bush administration officials for actions they took to counter terrorism and root out terrorists post-September 11, 2001. The press for a federal query came in response to the Senate's Democratic-fueled analysis on the administration's response to terrorism, the so-called torture report. Now, here's a quote from the Times editorial. This report erases any lingering doubt about their depravity and illegality. In addition to new revelations of sadistic tactics like rectal feeding, everyone is really latching onto that one.
Serious fixation there.
Yeah, scores of detainees were waterboarded, hung by their wrists, confined in coffins, sleep deprived, threatened with death, or brutally beaten. These are simply crimes. They are prohibited by federal law. And as such, the Justice Department should launch a full investigation of the key players, the New York Times said. The question everyone will want answered, of course, is who should be held accountable? Any credible investigation should include former Vice President Dick Cheney, Mr. Cheney's chief of staff, David Addington, former CIA Director George Tenet, John Yoo, Jay Beebe, the Office of Legal Counsel lawyers who drafted what became known as the torture memos, and, of course, Rush Limbaugh. I'm just hoping to throw that in to get some traction. I think he should go before a court.
Right, him and Glenn Beck.
Yeah. You think we can get them both?
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper pressed for the investigation just as the American Civil Liberties Union is set to present Attorney General Eric Holder with a letter that demands a special prosecutor to investigate what appears increasingly to be a vast criminal conspiracy to commit torture and other serious crimes.
Under the auspices of our country and freedom.
Look,
right?
This could be one of our finer moments. I mean that in all seriousness, because for us to display this, for the world to see what we have done, what we as a nation have done, what we have allowed our elected officials to do.
Owning up to it.
And then to actually do something about it. That is when you realize, hey, you guys, you've got some integrity.
There's something to this system that we so often point to.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah.
I hope that goes somewhere. But again, public response. We need to support this kind of thing.
Right. It's the kind of thing that just has to happen at some point. We have to pay attention.
What are you pointing at?
Nothing. We're just doing some technical things. Oh, we got a lot going on here with the game and stuff. So, but we have to pay attention to this
stuff. I'm sitting right in the way, so they're doing a sports thing at 6:45.
Yeah, we were trying to subtly...
Okay. If you need to go in there and patch things, I can sit over here. Okay, I'll do that.
But it's the kind of thing that we just let kind of go by, and then there's some... Oh, who knows, celebrity thing or whatever cultural attribute that just strikes the fancy of everyone. And then we forget about the real critical stuff that, mm-hmm. Really impacts the perception of our country and our government and thus our businesses and our citizens that may travel around, and we really should honor. And as you said, display the integrity that we feel we have. Especially with regard to this.
Yes. Well, this is a story that I don't think is going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, so let's not get distracted, I think, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Let's try to follow up and pay attention. That's great, though. That's the first I've heard of this.
I mean, there's a lot going on, too, so it's easy to get distracted and easy
exactly.
to lose track of these things.
Well, how about that? How about not just distracted, but a little gloomy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well...
There's a lot of violence around. If you really pay attention and... I want to say there's some, it's okay to put your head in the sand. That's not. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad. You don't have to expose yourself to all of it. And we've often said, mix it up. Don't just focus on that. Get a good, clear head at times as a consumer of media. But absolutely follow it and follow what's right in
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes, definitely. And, change the channel every now and then to something a bit lighter.
Sure.
You don't have to get obsessed with all this, but it's important to not ignore it. Too many people just don't want to hear about things that are negative or bad. And as a result, more negative and bad things happen because they don't say anything when it happens the first time.
Yeah.
And this is an important story. I'm very happy that people are actually talking about this. And it took guts for the Times to do what they did. And let's hope that's only the beginning, that there's more of a call for consequences to these actions that have happened.
Yeah. And I think journalism and the writing and the reporting, it's in waves. And I think the courage is it kind of comes in ebbs and flows. And it's refreshing when you do see institutions come out a little bit more on the aggressive reporting and investigating side. Because, as I said, it ebbs and flows depending on management and all these kind of industry norms. I
mm-hmm.
think people are a little bit, they kind of watch their peers as far as newspapers go. But it's good. It's good to see some people like let's push in this direction. And that's absolutely how discussion works in modern discourse, and in a democracy and in our various communities. So.
Yes. You want to talk about the movie a little bit? Because we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. Mostly tomorrow night, but we can mention it here because there's all kinds of late-breaking developments, and somehow we wound up in the middle of all this, as always.
Yes.
It was a very simple thing. You may have heard of the Sony hack that North Korea was blamed for. And then North Korea lost their internet yesterday. I didn't know they had internet. In fact, most of us, I don't think, did. Throughout all of this, we thought it would be fun for hackers to offer to Sony a means of distributing the film.
Of course. Well, and also to speak a bit from a hacker point of view, because, frankly, there was a lot of the H word being thrown around, and a heck of a lot of people professing to know and speak from a position of authority or knowledge about it, but no actual hackers and people that really follow that community. And I think it was important that we got a little bit of a statement or a message out. And there just was a lot of generalizations and confusions and overlapping and layering of misinformation about what hackers are about, and the diversity of the community completely ignored the fact that it is a diverse and interesting community.
What bugged me the most was seeing these reports that said hackers are preventing people from seeing this film, making it seem like hackers are people that go out and silence anything controversial. We're the exact opposite.
Exactly.
We're people that want controversy out there, want people to make up their own minds, want cover-ups to be erased. And so what we did was we simply made an offer to Sony that we would be happy to screen the film for them on our website at 2600.com, or we would have a link to a website that did. And a simple offer like that. And, you know, we've had history with Sony in the past. They sued us, along with the rest of the Motion Picture Association of America, back in 2000 because we dared to link to a program that allowed people with Linux computers to view DVDs.
Oh, my gosh. Linux computers?
Yes. It was a bad idea. They never should have had access to DVDs. We know that now. But back then, it seemed like a good idea. And so, you know, we thought it would be a nice, friendly gesture and a way to sort of help them along. Of course, you know, half tongue-in-cheek, if you read the story that was on our main page, you'll see that there's a lot of jesting going on there. But we would have done it. We definitely would have done it had they given the okay. We didn't want to go against them, but we wanted to let them know and let the world know that this is what hackers stand for, is revealing things, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, standing up to controversy.
And having that understanding,
yeah.
Truly. I mean, it's in the past, that's great. That's a historical thing. We know Sony's a corporation, right? As hackers, we're aware of what forces may be pushing them one way or the other and all of that. But it is important to have clarity in the discourse. And there was really no clarity.
Right.
The article is great. I really I'm so happy we spoke up a bit.
And we got a lot of reaction from all over the world, from all kinds of people, except people from Sony. We didn't get a reaction from them, but we got a reaction from nearly everybody else. The media was all over this. You might have seen us on BBC or CNN. And I'm happy to say today, Sony finally backtracked and said, hey, we're going to show the film. We're going to show the film after all, both digitally and in a few theaters. So, okay, you know, it's we don't need to offer this anymore, but I think the message was sent. I'm glad we didn't just sit back and allow it to be assumed that hackers were trying to intimidate. I mean, yeah, maybe somebody was able to get into their system and issue a threat and use some hacking ability to do that because they were working for somebody else. Maybe. I say maybe because we don't have the facts. The facts have not been released to us. We don't know if that was really North Korea that did that, or if some bored kid in California. Without the evidence, it's really hard to say who was responsible. And, you know, if it was them, what's the harm in releasing the evidence and showing the rest of the world so that we know what to look for? You know, nothing is lost by that. But Sony, the U.S. government have been very, very quiet. And in a way, they've been acting like the mysterious powers that don't reveal all the information. North Korea objected to the way they were being treated. They said, we didn't do this. We want to find out who did. So we want to share the investigation, whether you believe or not that they would actually do a good job of that. Had they already done it, it wouldn't have hurt to share the information with them, because obviously they already have the information. But the response of the U.S. government was simply to say, if North Korea really wants to help, they'll admit they're guilty. Now, think about that statement for a second. That is the most Orwellian statement I can imagine. And coming from the bastion of freedom that we perceive we are, it just seemed incredibly hypocritical and non-constructive.
Yeah. And wow, I mean, yeah, I think it's because it was ongoing, we weren't getting a lot of information, but to snap, basically, at that opportunity, and gosh, even for the entertainment factor, it would have been interesting to do a co-investigation with the North Korean authorities. I mean, how on earth would that have gone? Who knows? But
right.
I do think that the discussion was changed, and we had an impact. So, yeah, moving on. Yeah, we'll probably get into that more. Definitely it'll be interesting to see what people's reaction to the film are if it does indeed come out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I intend to see it one way or another. We're going to be going to Germany, and it was my hope that we would get a copy of it somehow ourselves and just be able to show it on the plane.
Right.
That would get quite a reaction from people, especially if it wasn't being shown anywhere else.
Yeah.
That could still happen. Who knows? But boy, what a weird week or a weird couple of weeks it's been with all
hacking,
that.
Yeah. A lot of information age type drama, as you know, as well as the physical turmoil in all kinds of places.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very bizarre, and actually a good lead up to the conference and some of the adventures we'll no doubt have during our holiday season.
And you know, we still don't know where we're going. We know we're going to Hamburg for the CCC, but after that, write to us, please. We've been to all kinds of interesting places. We've been to Denmark in the past. We've been to other parts of Germany. I don't know, maybe Austria.
Yes.
Netherlands. There's all kinds of places to go. Just write to us, otw@2600.com, if you'd like us to consider your particular neck of the woods.
Hungary.
Well, they have a fascist running things now, I hear. But that could be interesting.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any Hungarian listeners.
Well, if you're Hungarian and you listen, please write in, OTW.
Look outside. Are you in Hungary? If you are, we want to hear from you especially.
OTW@2600.com.
That's right.
But any place, really. We've got a lot of ideas, but it's really about picking the route, and it's much better to...
we lost the channel. How about that?
Ask ourselves while we're there. Once we usually get ideas and people have a lot of information. You know, getting together with people, you get excited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's happened now? I don't know if listeners can hear this.
Really confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too. We're only coming through the right channel. I am told this is because of a squirrel that ate wires in our. This place is so poorly maintained, and I mean the university.
Don't.
We have had squirrels infesting this place literally for years, and the university just does not do anything about it. So we literally are losing channels because of rodents.
Apparently, there was a poem written about the rodent that was living in the studio. Can we ask this squirrel maybe to do a slam poem with this squirrel about maybe reconnecting the left channel? Anyway. The point is, we have a couple ideas and impressions about where we want to go, but when we do finish up with a conference around New Year's, we ask ourselves, where could we go that would be fun? You know, what would make sense for a route and the like? So, in any event, that will be really an exciting decision to make. I mean, Iceland's come up again. I think we like to stay terrestrial too. It'll be good to find a couple trains to take and go around in the area. I like that you mentioned Austria. Austria is one place I've wanted to get to. I know we passed through there at one point, but it was just on a train, and of course, very beautiful. A very beautiful countryside, a lot of elevated highways because of the mountains and stuff over there. And I just remember passing through it and being really mesmerized. I believe for that ride, we were on our way through Austria to, gosh, where was it?
We were on our way to Italy.
Yes. Yeah.
So we found our way there and we passed through Austria. I don't know if we even got out of the train in Austria. We might have just ridden through there.
But Hungary's in the area, right?
Hungary is next door to Austria, yes.
Okay, and didn't they just have a big protest about the internet?
The internet tax.
Yes.
And I think they won for now. But,
yeah.
But internet taxes tend to come back. Speaking of protest,
sure.
We really should focus on what's going on in New York because that is important.
Yeah, please.
We certainly have heard about it in the present. If you're listening in the future, maybe you don't know what we're talking about, but the whole series of protests involving police brutality, it reached a weird point when two cops were basically assassinated by a guy that came up from Baltimore and invoked the name of Eric Garner. Basically, it's been such a weird turn of events. But what bothers me the most is when people try and link demonstrations to a horrible crime like this. Even though the guy used a name, it's completely meaningless that this would have any connection whatsoever to people that are peacefully protesting. And I know that the media is fixated on this. The media really wants there to be a connection. They've even gone so far as to find a small group of protesters that were chanting horrible things about cops, saying, you know, we want dead cops. I don't know where they found these people, but they certainly don't represent even a small fraction of a percentage of the people out there that want justice, equality, and for people to be able to walk the streets without feeling fear because of the color of their skin, from the authorities, from people, you know, with the guns, with the weaponry. The reaction to this by especially the people of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, I think it was last week's Dumbass of the Week, and we can't give it to them 2 weeks in a row, unfortunately. What they have been saying is the most incendiary, ignorant remarks that I think is even possible to say in a situation like this, saying that the mayor of New York has blood on his hands because of this. When you think of what Mayor de Blasio did, he simply said that people have a point. There is a problem here. This needs to be dealt with. And the reaction of the policemen's union to this was to basically say that he is their enemy now. He's not allowed to come to their funerals. And we'll see what happens when the funerals of these policemen happen, what occurs then. We've seen them turn their back on him when he visited the hospital. All kinds of really immature, stupid, unconstructive actions and remarks. Somebody that simply was saying, we have a problem here. It was never saying that cops are bad, that we have to, you know, defeat them or anything like that. Just basically, he represents all of the people in New York City. And thank God we have somebody that actually cares about the people in New York City. You would not have seen this under Giuliani. You would not have seen this under Bloomberg. It's basically he's being a leader, and he should be backed up for being a leader. It really frustrates me and annoys me and angers me to see that kind of blame being thrown. And it shows. It shows, I think, more clearly than even the protests have shown what the divide is, what the problem is.
Yeah, I would absolutely say it's divisiveness too, right? It exasperates the situation by emphasizing the divisiveness instead of some cohesion, right? And that inability to kind of stick with the community, and it fragments the discussion further, because then the focus is on divisiveness, or then the focus is on it just spirals away from what the people were protesting in the first place, or anything, you know. And yeah, maybe they said something that was passionate and inflammatory, but it is a symptom of the systemic problems, and by being divisive with the leadership, you're just furthering it to a point of people against the police,
right? And if the police feel that way, there you go. That's the reason why you're having all of these problems. That's the reason why cops are assuming that everybody is a criminal. That's why they're shooting before they even ask any questions. And if you have cops like that, and I think you're seeing a lot of cops like this, I say get rid of them all. Get rid of all these idiots, all these immature fools. And there'll be plenty of people out there from the community that will be happy to do their job and do it right. All right. And this is basically not in any way saying that cops are by default bad, but when you see this kind of a reaction, their minds are polluted. Oh, I just got a channel back.
Oh, my gosh.
I think the squirrel is done.
Yes.
Now he went back. Mm-hmm. So when you see that kind of a thing, it's really saddening, and it's non-constructive. I don't think de Blasio can fire this union representative, this idiot Patrick Lynch. Let me give you an example. This guy, before all this happened, before the grand juries neglected to or declined to indict anybody for his murder, back in October, he made headlines when nobody really knew who he was by claiming that Eric Garner's mom was wrongfully helped by other cops. Listen to this story. It's incredible. The mom of Staten Island police chokehold victim Eric Garner got special treatment when cops fixed her car so she could avoid a summons. That's according to angry police union leaders led by Patrick Lynch. He demanded that the NYPD Internal Affairs Bureau investigate the matter because it appeared top brass were involved in the incident. If the bosses involved fixed the ticket, then they must report themselves to Internal Affairs for disciplinary charges. If the NYPD is now in the car repair business, then they need to let the general public know that if they get a ticket, don't pay it, just call an NYPD boss and they'll fix it. Basically, he's bent out of shape because somebody who works for the NYPD did something nice for this poor guy's mother, this guy who was strangled by the cops. They went out of their way to help her.
It's afterwards.
It's a good thing. They knew who she was.
It's compassion.
It's a little bit of compassion.
Yeah.
Why is this guy so upset at that? Why is he so angry that they went out of their way to help somebody who was a victim of a horrible tragedy to be determined if it was a crime?
Internal Affairs? Are you kidding?
Yeah. This is the guy from the PBA saying they should report themselves to the Internal. So he obviously has something against Eric Garner's family and basically anybody that's not a cop, you know? And if they're helped by the cops, oh, my God, that's the worst thing ever. This guy is a problem. This guy needs to go. This guy needs to be booted by somebody. I don't know if the mayor can do it, but he is basically the reason, more than anybody else, more than even Al Sharpton, for divisiveness.
Yeah.
All right? And he's leading all these armed people in insurrection and basically intimidating the city. You know, de Blasio called for a moratorium on demonstrations until the funerals. I have no problem with that. I think that's actually would be a great gesture. And I think it's kind of immature for some of the demonstrators saying that de Blasio is just like everybody else now and is saying that we can't express our First Amendment rights. And that's not what he said at all. He said basically show a little bit of respect and let's tone it down until after the funerals. I think demonstrators should go to the funerals and not demonstrate. Stand silently. Take the high road. Say we feel your pain. You know,
solidarity.
You're human beings too, and we do not want this kind of thing. I think a lot of people would get that message. I think it would bridge gaps. But of course, the cops would probably beat people up if they even showed up because,
yep.
Oh my God, they're all the criminals here that we haven't yet beaten up or killed. It's sickening. It's sickening, that kind of response. Are we out of time? I'm sorry.
I'm afraid we are out of time. We can't go into delay. We can't take your calls, but you can certainly call or send an email to otw@2600.com.
We can't even broadcast in the left channel.
Yeah, we've been relegated to the right. But believe me, that is not where we're coming from.
All right, we'll have travel shows next few weeks. Oh, yeah, North Korean music. What a good way to go out.
I think it is. You do not disappoint, E.
And next week, we're actually going to be airing travel shows from last May, because
uh-huh.
That's when we did our last trip.
Of course, yeah.
And we'll be recording new travel shows for the next time we go away to air.
Oh, you better believe it, people.
Yeah. All right. Let's go out with some North Korean cheer. Have a happy holiday, everybody.
Feliz Navidad.
Thank you.